this morning. Praise God.
Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we come from Thy footstool into Thy very throne room and into Thy very presence by the new and living way.
Amen.
Through the precious blood of the Lamb.
Glory.
Father, we would say this morning as the hymn writer penned it, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. We thank Thee for the merits of the blood.
Amen.
For the incorruptibility of the blood.
Amen.
For the potency of the blood of Jesus Christ. We give Thee the praise. And we give You all the glory. We thank You this morning that we can sing and rejoice and say, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank Thee that Thy word says how precious are the death of a saint in the eyes of the Lord. Lord, we thank You this morning of something to rejoice about. I'm of something to praise about this morning. Absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we're glad for the resurrection.
Yes.
We're glad You conquered death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
And we're glad You're coming again to receive us unto Thyself.
Yes.
And whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Amen.
And we give You the praise this morning, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for the whole family circle at this time. I ask that the great comfort of the Holy Spirit will bless and comfort each and every one. Oh God, that Thou will reach Thy arms around each one in the name of Jesus Christ at this time. Father, bless and undertake, I pray, in every situation. And oh God, may Thy perfect will be accomplished and may Christ be uplifted and may His name be magnified, I pray. And Lord, may this be a time when men and women will reflect on eternity and on the things of Almighty God and make preparation for the great crossing, I pray,
yes, Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name.
Yes,
Lord, I ask at this time that souls will be saved,
amen,
that hearts will be touched in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, this day have Thy way in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I ask You for Brother James this morning. Lord, for this swelling in his throat and in his tongue. God, I pray You'll touch him.
Yes.
I pray You'll heal him.
Jesus.
I curse this infirmity and I rebuke it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray You'll touch him and heal him and make him whole.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, for the wee boy as well as your brother Gary's prayed for. Oh God, touch him and heal him. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
For all that's been mentioned, we bring before Thy throne of grace.
Hallelujah.
Where we may find help in the time of need.
Yes,
for oh Lord, Thou art indeed our high priest,
Lord,
that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity.
Yes,
oh God, we do touch Thee by faith.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank Thee for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, I take the blessed Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, for strength at this time.
Amen.
In every situation. I take the Holy Ghost. And I thank You undertake for me. Now Lord, bind every work of the devil. Spoil his goods. Bring his works to naught. And let Thy name be uplifted. For this we ask and sincerely pray. In Jesus' precious name. Now this morning let us not come out as we went in. But oh God, may our hearts skip.
Yes, Lord.
Oh Lord, may our hearts dance before You.
Yes, Lord.
As we hear the word of God, the testimonies of the Lord.
Amen.
Father, do Thy people good. Strengthen the feeble hands. Oh God, touch Thy people in this house. From the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. May the power of the Holy Spirit come upon everyone in this room. May we know the visitation of heaven in this house today. Father, this I ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ for Your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Shake hands with whoever's beside you and say all's well. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Just maybe say that. Praise God. You know, I haven't come with a prepared sermon or anything this morning. And I just want to briefly mention the trip. It's hard at this time, as you'll understand. But we just thank God.
Amen.
For the life of my grandmother. That she was saved. And not only was she saved, but she was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord. I had the privilege to baptize her in the early 90s. She was in her 70s then. And she stood and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ according to Acts 2:38. And I thank God for it. In Ballyshillan's swimming pool. And I praise God.
Amen.
For how the Lord blessed her. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. I never ever remember cursing. I never ever heard her once read up by anybody. Never heard her say, did you hear what such the one done? Or what she done or he done? Never heard her backbite anybody or talk like that. And I think that's a great testimony.
Amen.
For anyone to have. A wonderful testimony. And you know, Brother Branham said, if you can't praise a brother, don't say anything about him at all.
Amen.
He says, better give your bouquet of flowers while they're living rather than when they're dead. You're going to say something about somebody, say something good. But don't be negative. He says, never let your testimony be negative.
Amen.
Let your testimony be positive.
Amen.
We want to have a positive testimony. And you know, we thank God for her. For her life and for her testimony. And you know, my grandfather was saved as well. Listening to the preaching of Billy Graham. And I thank God for Billy Graham. Men like Billy Graham. And I don't like, not that I agree with all they've done. But I'll tell you one thing. It proves one thing. When you preach the gospel.
Amen.
God honors it.
Amen.
God blesses it.
Amen.
And I praise God for it. Well, you know, I have some scriptures I'll turn to in a moment. But you know, I had a wonderful time away. And some people have said, did I enjoy my holiday? Well, if you can call 13 services a holiday, fair enough. But, you know, we were busy for the Lord. For the Lord's work. And you know, the one thing I thank the Lord for, I got to see my grandmother before she died when I come home. Got to read the Word of God with her. I got to pray with her, but I knew she wasn't the same as the last time. She was really beside herself. It looked as if she was going to go soon, and she did. But the last time before that, I said, Granny, are you trusting in the Lord? And she said, I'm trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
And only in the Lord. Praise God. That's a testimony you want at 97 years of age. That you're trusting in the Lord. Isn't that a queer testimony?
Amen.
But I got to read and pray with her. You know, my other grandmother, Thompson, I never got to see her before she went. I was in Canada then as well. And I never got to see her before she went. But I had the privilege to point her to the Lord in a hospital.
Amen.
And she prayed the sinner's prayer and received Christ. And you said, well, how do you know when somebody's saved when they say the sinner's prayer because of the Word of God?
Amen.
The Word of God says in Romans 10 and 9, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead.
Amen.
Thou shalt be saved. And thank God we're not saved from because we feel saved.
Right.
Or look saved. Or act saved.
Amen.
But we're saved because of the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank God for the Word of God.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, I bring you greetings from Brother Brian and all the fellowship. And they do send their condolences at this time to the whole McKinstry family. And also I bring you greetings from Brother Howard. And his wife, Sister June, and the whole family there, and Paul and Pauline, send their condolences to the whole family as well. And greetings from Derek Donaldson, up in Auckland, and all the brethren in New Zealand and Australia send their greetings and said to make sure and greet the saints of God over in Ulster. So the Lord bless you all this morning. Praise God. I had a wonderful trip away. What I class are wonderful trips, not the sightseeing and all them things. That soul's been saved.
Amen.
And I told you before I went, my mission is to see somebody saved. And I thank God that they let me see it.
Amen.
And you know, I was praying in the Wednesday night service. Just before I went, I was praying into myself. And I was saying, Lord, is there nobody to be saved? Is there not one to come? And I got a tap on the shoulder, and it was a young fella sitting near the front here this morning. And he says, I want to get saved.
Amen.
Now, it mightn't seem much to some of you, but it meant a whole lot to me that that would happen. God was showing me something.
Amen.
That he was still in the business of saving.
Amen.
Even here. Even though we're just a small group. And I went, you know, and as I went this time, I felt a great peace, a great comfort. I don't think I've ever felt as peaceful as I did this time. A great awareness of the presence of the Lord. And we had four services in Adelaide at Brother Brian's church, and at least five people came to Christ. And Brother Brian said many people have come in testifying they're healed. That the Lord's healed them. And there was a wonderful anointing in all the services. Wonderful presence of the Lord. And there was even a tongues and interpretation after one of the services. And you know that wee sermon I preached it here, say so. It was after that message, the interpretation of the tongue that said that God was saying to his people to take heed and to hold on to what you've heard. Not let the devil rob you of it. Many times you can hear the truth and know the truth, but the devil steals it from you, robs it from you. He doesn't want you to have the victory. He doesn't want you to have the blessing. Then he'll tell you there's nothing to it. Well, nothing to it. See, there's nothing to it. He wants you to doubt the word of God. But at least five could see it. We had four services there. Wonderful time there, and people could see it. Then we come on to Melbourne from Adelaide. And Brother Quasi greets all the McDonald family. And we had a wonderful time with Brother Quasi in Melbourne. And he's quite a good size of a church. Even in the midweek, there could have been 80 people or more. And I'm sure on a Sunday there'd be over 100. And at least five more people came to the Lord in that service. And prayed the sinner's prayer. And that was a Wednesday. I was there. I preached at the Wednesday. Brother Brian came with me to Melbourne. He stayed there over the weekend to take the services. And he said they had wonderful meetings that weekend. And I travelled on up to Brother Howard's till Gisborne. And then we had a Saturday night service, two Sunday services. Then I spoke a little bit in a house service on the Monday night, so we had four services. And out of them services again, about five people got saved. And many came for prayer. And many testified to the Lord touching them. They're just small groups. And you know, I saw a great potential what God could do. If only God's people would come together. If only God's people would set the wee petty doctrines aside. If only God's people would come under together under Christ.
Yes,
my, what could be done? But you see, the devil's cute.
Right.
He wants to split you.
Right.
Oh, he doesn't see it like me.
Yes.
And he'll split you off. And he'll not want you to fellowship with your brother. Split your way here. Split your way there. But the word of God says, for God's people gather together in unity.
Right.
There God commands the blessing.
Right. Amen. Right.
I tell you, even despite the devil, there was a group joined us on the Sunday night, and God saved some of them, and some of them got a touch from the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Howard, we had a wonderful time there, and then me and Howard, we traveled on during the week on down till Stratford. And there's a mountain down there that's quite famous. Egg Mount Blum. Is that the right name, Brother Ades? Egg Mount Blum. There's snow on it near all the time. And you know there was volcanoes and earthquakes in New Zealand. But I wasn't at them parts, but wasn't that far away. And New Zealand's the type of a place could have an earthquake or a volcano at any time. And they say that particular mountain egg Mount Plum, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say, that mountain's 150 years overdue, a volcano. It's a due one. They said it was due 150 years ago. So they said it could happen at any time. So beautiful and all as New Zealand is, it near put you off it, wouldn't it?
Yes.
You know, and you know when Donald Trump was voted in America, and I'll say it and I'll make no apologies, I'm glad that Clinton never got in. I praise God for it. And Trump mightn't be everything, but I'm glad he's in and not her. And there was, I don't know how many thousand was all lined up to go to New Zealand. But when the earthquake took place, they changed their mind, staying in America. So God does everything for a reason, for a purpose, for a plan. Our God's in control.
Amen.
Praise God. But we went up to Stratford, and there's a young pastor there. I'm saying young, he's younger than me, so he's really young. He's really only a young pal. But praise God, lovely brothers from South Africa, Brother Henry. And I met some people there, farmers. There's a farming country up in Stratford. Great country for sheep and milking cows and cattle. And I felt really at home there. We had a service on the Wednesday night. We had a tremendous service. And another one on Thursday night. And again, about 5 people came to Christ for salvation.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, in that particular service on the Thursday night, the power of God really come on people. And the pastor's own wife came for prayer for the Holy Ghost, and the power of God come all over her. And she wept, and I mean wept. Another woman came up, and the power of God near put her off her feet. There's such a tremendous anointing in the meeting.
Amen.
And I thank God for the people here that was praying.
Amen.
But I know that God answers prayer.
Amen.
And just out of a small group, maybe 70 people, 5 came to the Lord. And I praise God for it.
Amen.
And then we travelled on. We went on up then till Auckland. And we had to take plane flights. And you know, to leave Howards and Gisborne to get up to Stratford, it was a whole day job. Because there was no flights went direct. So I got a place. I went ahead for New Plymouth. A place called New Plymouth. And I met a young girl on the plane. And you know what was outstanding? She's from here. And she heard my accent, and she was a bit excited to get talking to somebody from home, and I was well pleased to get talking to somebody from home. And I got talking to her, told her it's over on the Lord's work. You know, and but Hard took sick. Hard wasn't too well at all. Hard took really ill on the trip, and I'm telling you, he wasn't too good a shape. And we went on anyhow, and we got up to Stratford, had the services, as I told you there, and people came to the Lord, and people were healed. Then we went on to Auckland, and there was meant to be 4 services in Auckland, but one of the churches there, they were renovating the building, and they couldn't get the hall, because the renovations weren't finished. And I had I can't remember, 11 services or something by this stage. So I wasn't too bothered that there wasn't going to be just as many, you could imagine. And but we had wonderful meetings on Sunday with Derek Donaldson, and the church was quite full in the morning, and it was packed in the evening, and it must have been over 100 people. And again, about 5 people came to the Lord. And on Sunday night, the power of God came down. And God touched people, and God healed people, and I knew they were healed, and they knew they were healed. And one old woman, she said she had no feeling in her feet, and when she got to the back door, she had feeling in the feet.
Amen.
That's how fast the Lord done it. Praise God. As other people came for different things to be healed from, the Lord touched and the Lord blessed. And the people was very good to me, and I thank God for it. And then on Tuesday, I took the long journey home. When it's a long run home, it's deadly. It's a deadly journey. 4 hours from Auckland to Melbourne, then from Melbourne to Dubai, and then from Dubai to England, then from England to home. Flying time alone is at least 26 hours. That's not counting your wee stops in between. And I'll tell you, it wears you out. I don't sleep too well. And when I go away, I don't sleep too well. A few hours here and there. I don't know what it was in Australia. Every morning at 6, I was up reading and praying every morning at 6. Brother Brian Freeborn rises every morning for an hour and seeks the Lord. Brother Derek Donaldson, he rises every morning for 2 or 3 hours and seeks the Lord. I tell you, these men of God. And you know, I heard some wonderful testimonies. John is the man I stayed with. He's from South Africa. He's moved to Auckland. He came to New Zealand, but very lately left South Africa. South Africa is an awful place for the shoot people and all. George Martin, you know, own son was shot. And George was almost shot. They threatened to shoot him as well. And you're barricaded in, and people still break into your house, even with all these things. But that young man told me wonderful testimonies. How that he got a job, and in a job, he was going to have to work away Sundays. And he done it for a time, and God dealt with him. Because God didn't want him away on a Sunday. God wanted him in the house of the Lord on a Sunday. And I tell you, so many people today, and we're in a society for a rat race. You know, there's so many things to keep us away from church. And I know we have to make a living and work. But this man told me how he paid his tithes and how God blessed him. And how God promoted him. And the very thing he wanted was his own business, and he didn't know how he'd ever have it. And how he'd ever have his own house. And today he owns his own house and he's his own business. And he's only there 11 years. That's what God done for him because he was faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to the house of God. And he had to travel near 2 hours to get to church. And he went twice every Sunday. I'll tell you one thing. When I served the devil that had done anything, I'd have stayed out the whole night, sure, what about it? You know, did you ever notice when you're in the world, there's no such thing as too long of a football match. Or too long of a program. You know, but God's people can become so slack. But Derek Donaldson, he's 80 years young, and I tell you, he's something else. And his daughter says to me, she says, "Brother Tom, you know, you better be clear about this." She says, "My dad, when he gets to church, can hardly climb the stairs." She says, "I want you to know that. Because the man you see in that pulpit's not the man coming in. But she says, when he gets them stairs climbed, gets to that pulpit, something happens. And he's like 16 again. Amen. And he just takes off on scripture after scripture. Boy, can he talk and preach. And a man of prayer. And I don't mean, listen to me, I'm going to tell you what he told me. His son came to him when he was 17. And he says, "Dad, I need to talk to you." And he says, "All right, son, sit down." And they sat down and he says, "Dad, church is boring. And I'm not coming back. It's all boring and I don't want it no more." And his dad said, "Thank you, son, for letting me know." That was all he said. And his daughter said at 10 o'clock every night, Derek disappeared. And they never saw Derek again till 1 o'clock. And from 10 o'clock every night to 1 o'clock, he walked the roads. And he told me he prayed for his son. And he says he told the devil in no uncertain terms. He says, "You're a dirty, stinking devil. And you're not getting it. I'm claiming it." Yeah.
And he said he didn't tell the devil at once, he told him every night.
Amen.
For 3 or 4 hours every night. And he walked the roads and he prayed.
And God brought that man in.
And I'll tell you something, his son's not just a fellow that's saved. But that companion would be awesome. The last time we were there, he went all over the church. All over the place, shouting, singing, dancing up and down the aisles.
Amen.
2 hours every morning, his son spends in prayer. God saved him and made him a preacher.
Amen.
And the people in the church are shocked. They said they want to hear him preaching. He can preach like a fireball. Real evangelist, real preacher. But his dad sought God. And I'll tell you, let them go. Let them go on. But I'll tell you what, when you claim them under the power of the blood of Jesus,
amen.
The power of the blood's powerful, more stronger than the devil.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus conquered hell and conquered the grave. He overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
This blood's never loosed its power. It's never loosed its strength. It's never loosed its potency. We need to believe God. We need to start praying violent prayers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we need to take charge over the old stinking devil.
Yes.
He's not your friend. He's your enemy.
Amen.
He's not for you. He's against you. He's a liar.
Amen.
And a dirty liar at that. But thank God for the truth.
Amen.
I'll tell you, that young man could see it. He's near my age. He's preaching the gospel today. God changed him. God delivered him. God set him free. But I want to thank you all this morning for your prayers, for all your support. You know, it was wonderful. You know, I was blessed. Even what a brother said to me before I went. I had something in my wallet going this time. The Lord never let me go short once.
Praise God for it.
Yeah.
Our God's good.
Amen.
Oh, praise His lovely name. I want this morning just to read you some scriptures, and I've deliberately not prepared no sermon because I don't want to hold you as long this morning. I better get this jacket off. I bought this woolen fleece because, you see, I've come from 30 degrees to whatever we have here to the fridge. Praise God. And you know, it's hard to get back from trying not to eat too much, keeping yourself like that, and then back to the big Ulster fry. Praise God. Let us turn to the book of Job, and you can remain seated this morning. And here's the question posed. Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish, as in hurling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud.
Amen.
And bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and ariseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? Here's what I want to look at this morning. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Verse 19. Waters were the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth. And thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him. And he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendest him away. His sons come to honor and knoweth it not. And they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. If a man dies, shall he live again? This is a great question posed in the book of Job. If a man dies, shall he live again? And here through this reading this morning, we see that if the tree is cut down and the tree withers, but yet if the water watereth it, it can bud and come forth again. And we know that nature teaches us that the flower goes down in the evening, but the next morning it springs forth and it lives again. And we thank God this morning that God made the soul of man. And our God is eternal God, and our God is an eternal being. And God never made man that he would die and go to the grave, but God made man to be an eternal being, because God is an eternal being. But that man must have a birth, and he must be born again of the Spirit of God. And when a man or a woman is born again of the Spirit of God, even if the soul goes to the grave, they shall live again. Amen. For death shall have no dominion over them, and sin will have no dominion over them. Amen. For the power of the grave is death. But thank God that Jesus Christ took the power of death, hell, and the grave, and vanished it and vanquished it at a place called Calvary. And at the cross, Jesus rose triumphant over the grave.
Amen.
There's an answer to this great question this morning, and this great. There is a great creator. And even this morning, when you think yourself, if you've got a watch this morning, and you look at the watch upon your hand this morning, and the watch tells your time, but how did the watch get upon your hand, and how did you get the watch? The watch just didn't appear in your hand to be a watch, but there was an intelligence somewhere that made this watch. There was an intelligence somewhere that got the wheels and the springs, and they put them all together, and they broke them all together, and through that great intelligence, can have no dominion over him. And Jesus has entered in once for us, and he's tasted death for us. The Bible says he offered himself up once through the eternal Spirit. No other man could say he offered himself through the eternal Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the eternal Spirit, and he's been offered up once through the eternal Spirit. And you're not born of just the natural, but you're born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God. And because you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're born again of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever, and you can never die. This old house here, this old past house, is just a suitcase for the soul. But you have a soul, and every soul is precious, and Jesus died to save every soul. And the Lord loves every soul. And you know that God never made hell for man. It's not God's will that any should perish. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died to save every single person. But every person will come because they won't accept God's pardon. But if they'd only accept God's pardon, they could be saved and would be saved. But many won't accept God's pardon. But hell was never made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But every Christ rejecter will go to hell. Yes. And hell's real. There's fire in hell. And the Bible speaks of hell more than it speaks of heaven. It speaks of the darkness and the blackness of hell. And the punishment and the terrible torture of a place called hell. Yes. But Jesus died so that you wouldn't go to hell. So that you'd go to heaven. If a man dies, shall he live again? You see, this hope is set forth in an anchor of the soul. And you have a place that you can anchor this morning. Brother Branham calls it a tie post. And your tie post is where you met the Lord. And you have a time, you had an experience in your life. My grandmother, and Brother Gary mentioned it, she heard the gospel preached. She came home and at the fireside, she accepted Jesus as her Savior. She accepted Jesus as her Lord. That was her tie post. That was her anchor. And all through life's pilgrimage, and all through this world, and all through the things she saw her whole life, she could go back to that point and go back to that place, and she knew there that she met with the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful that God says, "None have I lost that thou hast given me," Jesus said of his Father.
Amen.
"But all will come to me that thou hast given me." Job 19 verse 25 says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Verse 26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall see God." Verse 27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though the rains be consumed within me." Job knew he would see God again. Job knew his Redeemer lived, even though he was smitten with the boils and the crown of his head to his foot. Even though Job was feeling the agony, and even Job was feeling the pain, a type of Christ suffering on the cross. Job went through it all, a type of Christ. But Job could say these wonderful words by inspiration. Someone within him inspired him. It had to be the Spirit of God. And he said, "I shall see God." Then you know there's a place in the Bible where the Old Testament saints were held, and they were held there until the resurrection of Jesus. And they could not come out of that place until Christ rose. And that place was called Abraham's bosom. And Job was in Abraham's bosom. And Isaiah was in Abraham's bosom. And Jeremiah was in Abraham's bosom. And all the Old Testament saints were in Abraham's bosom. But when Jesus' body was left on the tree, and Jesus, after he was offered the vinegar or the sponge for the last time, he said, "It's finished." And the Bible says he yielded up the Spirit. He gave up the ghost. And his soul went down into the underworld, and he preached on those held in captivity, and he led captivity captive, and he rose up, and he gave gifts unto men. But you see, for Abraham's bosom, where they were held in there, Jesus went down there. And Jesus went in there, and Jesus preached the same gospel to them that you and I are hearing. He met with them, he went into them, and Job could say, "Here he comes." I tell you, Jesus opened the graves.
Amen.
There's going to be a day come again when Jesus Christ will come from glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up or thrust up with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Weep and cry over this. Your Bible doesn't read like that. It says we're to rejoice over this. We're to comfort one another with these words.
Amen. Right.
I tell you, Jesus is coming again. And the old grandmother's body's laying in a casket. We'll place it into the ground, but her soul's going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And she has a glorified body today.
Amen.
And she's no longer a woman at 97, but God has turned her to the young woman. And I'll tell you, if you could go, she would never want to come back to this place.
Amen.
But thank God she was saved, and thank God she was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and thank God she was ready to go.
Amen.
But you know the sad truth about all this morning is that if every one of us is not prepared, and if every one of us is not ready, we'll never see her again. Only the redeemed of the Lord will be there. Only the redeemed of the Lord will walk there, because there's a great gulf fixed between. Those that are unsaved will never be with those that are saved. There's a gulf fixed between. And Christ is the only bridge over that gulf. And Calvary. And to reject Christ and to reject Calvary is to reject all hope of ever being saved. It's to reject God's provided way.
Amen.
And God's only one provided way. Jesus Christ is that way.
Amen.
2 Timothy 1:10 says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel's a thing that brings life and immortality to light. There's no other thing, only the gospel. Fancy sayings, joining church and shaking hands won't do it, but they only can be saved through the power of the preaching of the gospel. Paul the apostle said that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us that save, it is the power of God. And it's only through the cross of Christ we're saved, and it's only through the cross of Christ we can be changed and born again of the Spirit of God. And it's not the cross or the tree or the wooden symbol or dolomite, but it's the man that's on the cross, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Matthew 28:6 says, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Jesus is no longer in the grave. Jesus is no longer on the cross. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is glorified. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And this same Jesus that we preached to you, he's coming again. He's coming again for his people. And there's going to be a rapture of the church. There's going to be a catching away. There's going to be a meeting of the Lord in the air. And you don't need a doctrine to go or certificate to go, but you need the seal of God to go. And the seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's those that's filled with the Holy Spirit that's going to take the rapture, that's going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible says the dead Christ shall rise first. All our loved ones that went on will rise first. Brother Branham says in one place, he says, you'll know it's on when the dead that you know will come into where you are. They will come into where you are. You remember that after Jesus rose from the dead, that he walked amongst them for 40 days. God's no grandchildren. And I'm missing these scriptures to go to these last scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15 because I don't want to hold this too long. I never come prepared to preach today. But I can't but have to give reason of the hope that lieth within me.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15 verse 13 says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain. This is the reason why the gospel we have is so powerful. Christianity, real Christianity, is far beyond Buddhism or Mohammedanism or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, because we believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And we serve a living Savior. And we believe that our Savior rose, and that not only our Savior rose, but He said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe on God, believe also on me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And Jesus said He was coming again. So many times Jesus said, I'm coming again. Now you remember the Word of God said that He would send the promise of the Father, which was the Pentecostal experience, and God done that. And all of our history books and, you know, Bible scholars know that the day of Pentecost happened and God poured out His Spirit. But this same God that did that said, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You think that no matter how you look at it, God was 6 days to build this world, and He's been away 2,000 years preparing a place for us. You say, what about it? Here's what about it. The Bible says that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. God's made preparation for you and me. And He's coming again. Verse 15 says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that raised of Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and because the first fruits of them that slept, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as an animal die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise God. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they, that they that are Christ that is coming. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're living in a body of corruption. This is why we need the blood of Jesus every day of the week. People say there's no blood. I feel sorry for preachers that believe that. I need the blood to cleanse me today. I need the blood to cleanse me tomorrow. I thank God for the power of the blood today, tomorrow, for my future, for my past. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin and from all unrighteousness. But I tell you, we're going to put off this body of corruption.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, you say, brother, but you don't know my struggles. Oh, but brother, have you read Paul's struggles? Paul said, the things I would do, I don't do, though I should. That's what Paul the Apostle says. And your Bible reads, Paul is the greatest of all apostles outside of Jesus. Many special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. You and me are in a body of corruption. We are in a body of decay. We are in a body of death. But we are 3 said, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain. So we're labouring today, but our labour's not in vain. And this might be a sad time, but yet it should be a time of rejoicing. The Bible says rejoice in a funeral and cry in a wedding. That's what the Word of God says. I thank God this day that my grandmother was saved. And I thank God for the hope. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yes, he shall. Because Christ rose from the dead. Let us come and bow our heads this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you want prayer this morning, just slip your hand up to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. Let me say to you this morning, Jesus is really coming.
Amen.
He's really coming again. And we need to be ready. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you for the words of truth, for your precious gospel. I pray, Lord, for the hands that's raised, that you'll meet the needs, that you'll touch the lives of the person today. Father, that everyone will make sure they're really saved. That they've accepted you and prayed the sinner's prayer. And Lord, then that they'll seek out to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For Lord, you're coming for those with the oil and the lamp. And oh God, how you've spoken in this last days. Send out a message to catch your attention. Because the hour is late. And many are not saved. Lord, your servant Paul said he prayed continually that Israel might be saved. Father, I pray that all of our loved ones will be saved, our sons, our daughters. All that's near and dear tell us that they'll be saved, that they'll be ready when you come. Father, bless the hands that's raised. Cover the whole family at this time. Oh God, help me, I pray, to say the right things. In Jesus' precious name. Father, I bless thy people now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for all he means to us and all he's done for us. That Father, part us for thy blessing upon us, that maketh rich and addeth no sorrows. Until we meet, or thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Praise God.
I hope you can sing the Sweet Band Classic for the older version and the rest of the book, but don't think of it, but probably have the Sweet Band.